Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
It's 8 o'clock on Today. Coming up, one-on-one.
I would never underestimate President Putin's risk appetite on Ukraine.
President Biden speaking with Vladimir Putin this morning amid a major showdown on the Russia-Ukraine border. So what message will Biden deliver? Grand gesture.
Seeing the people clapping and the signs brought tears to my eyes.
The dancing grannies making their first public appearance just 2 weeks after that Christmas parade tragedy. The touching show they're sharing this morning. Plus, it's a girl. Bodhi and Morgan Miller welcome the newest addition to their family, why they're calling it a dream come true, and what they're saying about their new daughter's name. And live in Studio 1A, Meryl Streep and Jonah Hill here to talk about their new film, Don't Look Up. And Kristen Davis joins us with a preview of the highly anticipated Sex and the City series, and just like that, as the stars align today, Tuesday, December 7th, 2021.
To our friend Oakland in Portsmouth, Ohio.
We love you!
PE teacher
and eighth grader
skipping school to visit the plaza.
Mother-daughter trip from Cleveland
and Harrisburg, PA
to today.
Celebrating 44 years of friendship together.
From Oxford, Connecticut.
I'm turning 65.
From Rockwall, Texas to today.
For Susan's 55th birthday.
Yay! And good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Today. We got a great crowd out there. It's Tuesday morning and we are smack dab in the middle of December. Hoda's got the morning off, but look at all those nice folks out there.
I'm going to get outside and just, but ever since they put that tree up, the crowds have been massive.
I know, we thought it was for us, but no, it's for the tree.
I thought it was, okay.
Oh, it is for you.
Right.
No, it
okay,
is.
Okay, okay,
it's NBC News Now, right?
Yeah,
7 o'clock
top
every
story.
Night.
They're top lining story. Up there. I see all the fans.
Yes, they're there. But let's get to your news here at 8 o'clock with tensions rising between the U.S. and Russia. President Biden confronting Vladimir Putin today over the Kremlin's military buildup near Ukraine. NBC Chief Foreign Correspondent Richard Engel joins us with the latest. Richard, good morning.
Good morning, Savannah. Vladimir Putin has the world guessing. Will he or will he not invade Ukraine? Now, we have been in this situation before, including earlier this year, but U.S. officials say this time feels different with more Russian troops deployed and a greater risk for escalation.
New satellite images show Russian forces at the ready near the Ukrainian border. U.S. intelligence warns Russia's Vladimir Putin may be planning to attack the U.S. ally. U.S. and Ukrainian officials estimate there are already 70 to 100,000 Russian troops near the border. An unclassified U.S. intelligence estimate predicts another 100,000 could be called in for a potential invasion early next year. President Biden has signaled to Putin the U.S. will oppose him. Analysts expect the U.S. would likely confront Russia with sanctions and not a full war on its border. Though in the past, sanctions have done little to change Putin's actions. This morning, I spoke to Ukraine's former defense minister, who now works for a think tank that advises the government.
We're going to have a very substantial resistance here. We will see hundreds of thousands of people involved in the war effort. We may see tens of thousands of casualties and billions of lost investments. So the world has to be very strong in order to stop Russia from even thinking that direction.
Back in April, during another Russian troop buildup, we were with Ukrainian troops as they carefully monitored Russians nearby.
What are you looking at through this periscope?
It's enemy.
Putin didn't invade back in the spring and may be bluffing this time. But he is making it crystal clear he does not want Ukraine to join NATO, and he doesn't want NATO to put advanced weapon systems into the country. Ukraine was a close Russian ally until 2014, when pro-Western demonstrators overthrew the country's president. Putin, who blames the U.S. for orchestrating the revolt, responded by annexing Crimea and supporting a covert war in eastern Ukraine. Now, he could be eyeing even more territory.
Kremlin officials, including this morning, say it is Ukraine that is trying to provoke Russia. Ukrainian and U.S. officials deny that, and the U.S. is specifically warning Ukraine not to engage in any kind of activity near the border that could give Russia an excuse to find an excuse to launch an invasion. Savannah?
That tensions us so high there. Richard, thank you very much.
Back here, President Biden's Commission on Supreme Court Reforms is not expected to recommend expanding the court. The bipartisan panel votes on its final report today. Members were divided over whether President Biden can add more justices to counter the court's conservative majority. However, it concluded that Congress does have the power to do so. The report also says it would probably take a constitutional amendment to put limits on how long justices can serve. They can currently remain in office for life.
All right, now to a story of resilience in the wake of tragedy. The dancing granny still healing from that deadly holiday parade crash in Wisconsin 2 weeks ago, getting back to what they do best, spreading love and light. For decades, the dancing grannies spinning and twirling their way into the hearts of people across Wisconsin. But just 2 weeks ago, the beloved dance troupe making national headlines after an out-of-control SUV crashed right through the Waukesha Christmas parade.
And then it just swerved in the other direction and just hit as many people as it could.
Three of their members and the husband of another losing their lives. The survivors sharing their determination to carry on their legacies.
It might take us a year to pull back and get some more people to join, but I know in our hearts we're going to continue.
The dancing grannies making their first appearance since the tragedy at the Franklin, Wisconsin Christmas Parade, the city's first ever.
It was the starting of healing.
The women and their families walking arm in arm, sporting custom-made blue sweatshirts. On the back of each one, the words, in loving memory of Ginny, Lee, Tamara, and Bill, and the marching orders, keep on dancing. On their banner, a broken heart, a symbol of their loss and a reminder of why they dance.
I really think the other grannies would look down smiling, and they'll always be in our heart.
But even in the face of profound and personal loss, the grannies, with their bravery and resilience, still bringing joy to this community.
Seeing the people clapping and the signs brought tears to my eyes. It was, to me, like a granny parade for us.
And this is pretty incredible. Sharon, who we spoke to there, says the dancing grannies have seen a lot of interest from women wanting to join ahead of the spring and summer parade season. They say that their walk is also inspiring the Waukesha Marching Band to start practicing again this week. It's pretty, pretty encouraging what's happened there in Waukesha and with those dancing grannies.
They have a lot of courage.
Yeah, a lot of courage, you're right.
All right, well, let's get to the morning boost. I've got the duty this morning because Hoda's off. So some families have a child who's old enough for college and another still young enough for a high chair. So watch what happened when this big brother has to go back to school after a visit.
Bye, Ro. I love you.
Bye, Dad.
I love you.
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 Oh, I love that. What a cutie, an unmistakable bond. They're two decades apart,
wow.
But best friends for life right there.
Wow, I feel for those parents. One in diapers, one in college,
I know.
Imagine.
Impressive.
Oh my gosh.
Coming up next, former Olympic skier Bodie Miller and his wife Morgan introducing the world to their family's newest addition, what they're saying about her arrival right after this.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/today. Just go to Indeed.com/today right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/today. Conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We are back, coming up on 8:15 now with some happy news.
Yeah, we are. Bodhi and Morgan Miller have welcomed a beautiful baby girl to their family a little more than 3 years after the heartbreaking loss of their 19-month-old daughter, Emmy.
She's perfect. That's the caption as the Millers revealed the birth exclusively to People magazine. This is a special birth with added significance for the Millers. They say this little girl is an answer to their hopes and dreams.
These are the first pictures of the Millers' newest addition to their family, Bodhi, cradling their brand new precious baby girl. A full 8 pounds, 5 ounces of dark hair and joy, their new baby daughter was born Friday, November 26th at their Orange County home, measuring 22 1/4 inches. Bodhi sharing after her birth, this is the happiest he's ever been. Their new bundle, their sixth child together and eighth overall, and they say a dream come true. The couple talking to Today in 2019 after their twin boys were born.
Do you all have like a Christmas wish?
An unrealistic one, another little girl.
But it wasn't unrealistic, and the couple has taken us along with them on their journey.
Give that to Daddy.
From finding out they were pregnant to wondering what they were having.
I am so nervous. Bodhi and I have no idea. So we'll see.
To sharing their gender reveal exclusively on Today back in May.
Oh my God!
Their new daughter joins 2-year-old twin boys Asher and Axel, 3-year-old Easton, 6-year-old Nash, 8-year-old Nate, and 13-year-old Dace. As their family expands, their daughter Emmy, who tragically drowned in 2018, remains a constant presence.
She was had such a powerful, bull like personality where she just did what she wanted.
She was such a bright light, and she was determined.
The Millers have been open about their heartache, hoping to prevent other families from experiencing similar tragedies. Teaching their own babies to survive in waters and encouraging others to do the same.
If your child is crawling, they should be floating. If your child is walking, they should be swimming.
Now, as they bask in the glow of their new addition, they may honor the present with the past. Morgan writing on Instagram, it is usually pretty hard for us to pick a name, and oftentimes it takes us 3 to 6 weeks after baby is born to decide. We have been toying with the idea of incorporating some part of Emmy's name. Whatever name they choose, the Millers' hearts are full. And they tell Today, it really is the most perfect final chapter. She's so sweet, and all kids have fallen in love with her.
By the way, we have more in Miller's new bundle of joy and more adorable pictures at today.com. I'm so happy.
I'm so happy for them that Morgan got her little girl, and I'm just thrilled for her. So we send them a lot of love. Mm-hmm. All right, Al, let's get a check of the weather.
All right, let's show you what we've got for today. We're looking at some sunshine around the northeast, little light snow in the eastern Great Lakes, sunny skies making their way from the plains all the way down to Texas, showers in Southern California, Pacific Northwest as well, and plenty of sunshine in the western plains. As you head out the door, take us with you. Today's show Radio, Sirius XM Channel 108. Today at 1 o'clock, off the rails.
Back in person.
Back in person, in studio over there.
Oh, wow.
And a guest appearance by one Dylan Dreyer.
Yes.
So you're going to be in the fishbowl.
We're in the fishbowl. And people are going to call in and going to have viewers on a video screen.
Going to be a whole thing.
Huge. Huge. Yay. 1 o'clock. Check it out.
Thank you, Mr. Roker. All this week, the platforms of NBC News, in partnership with the Pulitzer Center's Rainforest Investigations Network, are bringing you special coverage from around the world for our Rescuing the Rainforest series.
You know, often referred to as the lungs of the earth, rainforests are under threat worldwide, but it's not all bad news.
Yeah, NBC's Jacob Sobroff is here with the story of one rainforest that's come roaring back, actually, and what that means for all of us. Hi.
This was a very, very cool assignment. Good morning to you guys, and good morning to you at home. Scientists agree the destruction of tropical rainforests is an urgent threat to life on Earth as we know it. According to a study published by Rainforest Foundation Norway, earlier this year, over two-thirds of the planet's tropical rainforests have already been destroyed by humans. It exacerbates species loss and climate change. But in Puerto Rico, there are signs of hope for tropical rainforests, the planet, and humanity.
Tropical rainforests cover only 7% of the Earth's surface, but they're home to more than half of the planet's biodiversity, including on the island of Puerto Rico, where you'll find El Junque, one of the world's smallest rainforests and the only one managed by the U.S. Forest Service.
This part of the forest is closed to the public. Exactly so. This type of vegetation can grow and thrive.
We hiked deep into the rainforest to its highest elevation, more than 3,500 feet above sea level, with Dr. Grisel Gonzalez, a scientist for the Forest Service.
So this is untouched natural forest?
Yes.
Wow.
In these mountains, you'll find thousands of native plants and hundreds of small animal species, many found nowhere else on Earth.
They think that this is so unbelievably spectacular. Can we just stand here and listen?
Yes.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Over a century ago, much of Puerto Rico used to look just like this. Almost 70% of the island was covered in forest. But beginning in the 1800s, land was cleared to make way for farming. And at the low point in the 1940s, only 7% of the island was forested. Today, it's as if a miracle has happened.
Was this really some of the only remaining rainforest on the entire island?
Yes, at the top of the mountains.
Now what's the status here?
If you look at the latest descriptions of forest covering the island, we are about 65%. So we are back, full circle.
To understand that stunning reversal, we traveled to a mountainous region that used to be known for its coffee that was exported all over the world. But that's changed. Over several generations, Puerto Rico's farmers moved to jobs in cities or the mainland U.S. Today, Wanda Perez of the U.S. Department of Agriculture works to help support remaining farmers after seeing thousands leave.
They have moved and looked for different or better opportunities.
That migration gave the forests an opportunity to grow again. Then 4 years ago, Hurricane Maria devastated the farms that were left. Carmen Rujan is a third-generation coffee grower.
Is it easy to be a farmer here in Puerto Rico?
Lately, it's been very, very hard. We can look at that mountain. That used to be two things that were grown there, coffee and citron. And now you only see it's a forest.
Did it survive Maria?
Yeah.
Today, scientist Edgardo Gonzalez works with Puerto Rico's remaining farmers to make sure that through smarter land management, their crops in the rainforest can coexist. It's a method he believes will help other countries impacted by deforestation.
So it seems like when people left the land generations ago, they did so because it didn't seem like there was economic opportunity left. But what you're saying is economic opportunity and reforestation are not mutually exclusive.
Definitely. What we are promoting in here is that a combination between agriculture and forest is possible, and it can be lucrative for the family.
Back high in El Junque, we look down at the line where new forest that grew on abandoned farmland meets the ancient and untouched rainforest.
Where you see the darker line of vegetation, you see now the recovery of the forest.
In other words, if you want to understand what it looks like to see a rainforest come back, you're looking at it.
So, I mean, is this unique to Puerto Rico, this whole set of events?
The idea is that it shouldn't be. And at that climate conference in Scotland earlier this year, all the countries that were there pledged to end deforestation by 2030. The idea is you got to go country by country. And like the scientists said, you got to manage the existing farmland to allow the forest to come back. So it's a matter of a policy, basically, in each country.
What was the climate like there?
It was cold up top. It was really cold up top. And down below, hot, very humid.
Hot and sticky?
It was amazing.
It's a great story.
So
it's great
beautiful. To see,
thanks, guys.
Yeah. I like how you paused and just listened, because it's not every day you get to hear.
Exactly. They just tell you to talk. I said, why don't we listen for a second? Yeah. It was spectacular.
Some good news, finally.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
We got a lot more to get to this morning, including two members of the star-studded cast of Don't Look Up, Meryl Streep, and Jacob Soboroff's a high school pal, Jonah Hill.
Good morning.
Hey, guys.
Cannot wait to sit down with them. Look at these two.
I know.
You've really bonded, haven't you?
Yes.
Okay, I really believed you when you said that. We'll be back with them. We'll be right back after this.
And we are back. It is 8:30 on this Tuesday morning. Look at this happy crowd. Look at this huge crowd. Lively crowd.
1 week from today, December 14th. Alicia Keys.
Wow.
Alicia Keys will be taking over for a live concert right here. You can join us. To request a fan pass, go to today.com.
Cool.
Awesome.
Hey,
so
and
awesome.
Don't forget, we got a huge Plaza concert this week. Ed Sheeran here live. It's on the Plaza.
Great.
Ed Sheeran, Alicia Keys.
Who needs summer concerts when you can have winter concerts? Guys, we have just a bunch of TV and movie stars and just legends here this morning. We're going to sit down with Meryl Streep and Jonah Hill coming up next. That's you, Jonah. You're a legend, too, teaming up these two as mother and son and president and chief of staff in the new movie Don't Look Up.
And it just keeps on coming. Also in Studio 1A this morning, Kristen Davis. There she is. She's going to tell us what it was like channeling the beloved Charlotte one more time for the big Sex and the City revival.
There are a lot of stars this morning.
Love it.
Plus, the real reason, speaking of stars, that Jenna's joined us, the big reveal of this month's Read with Jenna title.
We'll do that in just a moment. Coming up in just a few minutes, though, in the third hour, Grammy winner Leon Bridges.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's going to be here live as
That's
well.
Right. He's covered this great Marvin Gaye song.
Oh, it's a hit.
Snowflake.
It's a hit.
It's
he's going
cool.
to join us live.
I am so jealous.
Special
he's
performance.
Texan.
Special
oh, that's right.
That's right.
Incredible. Yes.
That's right. And he channeled some of his Texas roots into the song.
Look at you. You know everything, Fred.
Well, yes, he does. And he'll tell you every chance he gets.
Uh-oh. Family tension.
What about the weather? You seem to know that.
All right. Let's see what we've got for you. Starting off with today. Beautiful day in the Northeast. A little light snow around the Great Lakes. Some showers down through Southern California. Sunny skies down in Jenna and Leon's Texas. And then for tomorrow, plenty of sunshine. Texas all the way to the Northern Plains. Some mountain snows in the Rockies. Light snow in the Northeast should avoid New York City. A few showers and thunderstorms. Gulf Coast right along into the Southeastern Atlantic states. And that's your latest weather, Savannah.
All right, well, we are getting to the end of the year here, but we cannot say goodbye without one more December Read with Jenna pick.
Yes!
You guys, okay, our Plaza crowd, which is huge, by the way, is eager to help us announce this pick. So are y'all ready to do it? Should we count down?
Yes.
Three, two, one. And the December
show
pick
it.
Is Bright by Lisa Hardy.
Look at this.
This is a awesome debut book by an Irish writer, and it tells the journey of Sonia. She's a former actress who is used to a life of glamour, and she's forced to make a decision to keep her beloved son. It is a book about unconditional love, about the mother's bond. Anybody would love it. I hope y'all all read with me. It's also a glimpse into the life of addiction, but also the beautiful hope that recovery can bring. So, you guys, it's a good Christmas gift. There is a librarian right there from Texas who's reading with me.
Yeah.
A former librarian. I hope you all will read along this month.
This great,
one
Jenna.
Is for you, Chanel. Thank you so much. Now I can join this entire crowd. How amazing is this?
How fun.
All right, it sounds like another page turner. For more on the book and to join the club, scan the QR code or head to today.com/readwithjenna.
You know, we were skeptical a while back about the book club picks, and then we started reading with you.
When you're saying we, are you talking about you?
Carson and I. See what I'm saying?
No, but we started reading.
Remember a couple months ago you turned us on to that one?
Yes.
And ever since then.
That one.
We're believers.
I have trusted Jenna for years.
I know. Al has been reading with me for a long time.
She's got a great eye.
Nancy.
My mother, Nancy. That's right. Coming up next, two stars for the price of one, Meryl Streep, Jonah Hill, live in our studio. But first, this is Today on NBC. Welcome back. Meryl Streep and Jonah Hill have graced our screens with countless hit movies and iconic roles. And now they're joining forces like superheroes for the first time in the new Netflix comedy Don't Look Up. It's about a comet hurtling straight toward Earth. They play a rather unorthodox mother and son duo who also just happened to be the president of the United States and her chief of staff. Take a look.
So how certain is this?
There's 100%. Certainty of impact.
Please, don't say 100%.
Can we just call it a potentially significant event?
Yeah.
Yes.
But it isn't potentially going to happen. It is going to happen.
Exactly. 99.78% to be exact.
Oh, great. Okay, so it's not 100%.
Well, scientists never like to say 100%.
Call it 70% and let's move on.
Good morning, Jonah. Good morning, Ms. Streep.
Good morning.
It says Meryl here, but I can't call a legend. No, oh. Can't do it. It's Ms. Streep to me. What do you call Ms. Streep?
Boss.
The boss.
You are the boss in this movie.
I call her the GOAT, the greatest of all time.
Oh, no.
Wait a minute. I heard a story about this. He's been calling you the GOAT.
Yeah.
But you didn't know that was a compliment?
No, I thought, why is he calling me a GOAT? And I sort of thought, well, you kind of look like a goat, you know?
Not sure.
But no, I don't know. I didn't know what that meant, you know?
So what happened? You just were like, oh, you're the goat.
Yeah, no, just we're doing interviews, and obviously everyone in the world respects Meryl more than anything in the world, and myself included. And then Jen Fielder and Meryl was saying, like, oh, I think he keeps calling me a goat. And then Jen Lawrence was like, no, it stands for greatest of all time. It's a massive compliment and not a grotesque disc that I would never say anywhere.
It says a lot about your grace that you didn't say, like, hey, stop calling me a farm animal.
No, I just thought it was, like, I don't know, a cute little thing.
Yeah. She's the coolest,
that I
dude.
Chew the scenery or something.
Yes, yeah.
I don't know what he meant.
Not true. But she's, you know, she's the best.
Well, you two have such amazing chemistry in this movie. It's hard to describe this movie because on the one hand, it's about the end of the world. And on the other hand, it's a hilarious romp toward the end of the world. And honestly, like Leonardo DiCaprio said, somehow the director cracked the code. How you make a movie about climate change and the looming, impending disaster and make it really a good time.
Yeah, I think it's like in the, it's like a gallows humor or a black joke, you know, a joke that's just has really serious intent underneath it.
Yeah.
But it's thanks to Jonah, really, that it's as funny as it is. And because Adam McKay gave us a great script, but he also gave us complete liberty to gave him complete liberty to say whatever he wanted. And
actually, Jennifer Lawrence said that they had done an entire day of shooting totally dedicated to Jonah Hill just riffing.
Oh.
Just ripping off one-liners left and right, just saying what came top of mind.
Yeah, this was the most fun.
It was fun, I don't know. I mean, Adam McKay, legend, so awesome. And I think this movie is like, at its best, just a tonal achievement because it is talking about, you know, some deeper metaphors for like larger issues, but done through the lens of like satire and comedy. And I think that's a massively challenging tightrope to walk, and Adam pulled it off. And then, you know, I don't know, we had all just been stuck in our houses for COVID. So it was like, for me, I felt like I was let out of a cage, and it was really fun to like, be around all these people, some of whom were good friends, some of whom are new friends that I admire very much, and then just getting to like be funny and like make each other laugh was a really nice respite from what had been going on, you know?
Jennifer Lawrence was the frequent target of your insults, and I honestly felt watching it that you kind of secretly enjoyed insulting her. There was a certain joy And she agreed with me, by the way. I asked her about that yesterday in an interview that's going to air. And she said, yeah, I think he really did enjoy that.
No, I don't enjoy making fun of... first of all, we're all playing characters.
That, I know.
And we're playing... We, in particular, are playing kind of some evil folks. I was trying to play, like, Fire Festival as a human being. And I did not enjoy making fun of Jen, because I love Jen. And I did enjoy making fun of Leo for... Because he didn't like playing a dork. I think he always likes playing, like, you know, he plays, he's such a cool guy that he plays those types of characters. So I think he was really shook that I was in a position to make fun of him on screen for being, like, a nerd.
Yes.
And then we lived together when we made the movie because we were all quarantined. And we were like, oh, we should just live together. And I could see him just come home and be like, you really got a lot of jokes off on me today. And I was just like, this is awesome. Yeah.
Well, before I let you go, I did hear that you brought, a fart machine to some of the
I have no idea press screeners.
That's not true. You do know. Yeah. You know exactly what you did.
He says he brought a fart machine.
This is going to be a really short recapped version. You have to understand, I understand how stupid it is, right? This
is
not like something I think is funny. It's for like 2-year-olds.
Yeah.
Which is, so Julia Louis-Dreyfus and I were doing a movie together and we were like, how funny would it be if I'm doing this press tour with all these iconic movie stars and I have something as stupid as that? Because like what we've all been through, like, let's just...
And it's a serious subject matter.
It's a serious subject matter. And so we did it, and then, like, Meryl was the only one who was cool enough to think it was funny. And then, like, people from Netflix were, like, formally asking me to stop using it. But I do think the movie itself is this brilliant, like, comedy that has this deeper message. So for me to go out and do press with all these, like, legends and do something so stupid...
It was meta.
Yeah, it was.
Right on track.
It is. And then also say, I don't know anything about how to, like, fix climate change. It scares me because I just hear it and it's this big Goliath. Mm. And I asked my girlfriend who works in this arena, and she's just like, if you care, you can call your local congressperson and talk about H.R. 794, which is the Emergency Climate Act. That's what I did. And it gave someone like me with no knowledge a small step of like something you can actually do. So the fart machine and that, I feel like my job here is done.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know how you were going to weave back to the machine, but you did.
It's about high-low, Savannah.
Yeah, it is. I'm starting to get it. Like, it's the alchemy. It's the tonal achievement.
All of it.
This interview is a tonal achievement.
Correct.
Exactly right.
Thank you so much. Meryl Streep, Jonah Hill, always a pleasure.
Thanks a lot.
The GOAT.
She's the GOAT. Greatest of all time. You can catch Don't Look Up in select theaters this Friday. It's on Netflix December 24th. Coming up next. Was that a goat noise?
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Maybe it was a sheep.
It was. It was like, We'll talk to Kristen Davis about stepping back into Charlotte's shoes and the highly anticipated Sex and the City revival coming up next. But first, this is Today on NBC.
In-laws. Love them or hate them, you're pretty much stuck with them. And when you're a ruler in the Middle Ages, that can be a serious problem. It might even land you dead. I'm Dan Jones, and on season 4 of This Is History, I'm telling the story of England's weirdest king, Henry III. He's in way over his head, and he's surrounded by bloodthirsty relatives with their eyes on his throne. To listen, search This Is History and follow wherever you get your podcasts.
If you ever needed to be persuaded that bad things can happen anywhere, then take a journey with us.
From compelling mysteries to in-depth investigations, our Dateline episodes are available as podcasts.
Follow Dateline NBC now to get new episodes every Tuesday. To listen ad-free, subscribe to Dateline Premium on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or datelinepremium.com.
Great storytelling with a twist from the true crime original.
Oh, we are back. It is 8:46. Hard to believe it's been more than 20 years since that hit series, Sex and the City, first premiered on HBO, introducing the world to four single women navigating the turbulent dating scene here in New York City.
Beloved by generations, the show ran for 6 seasons, along with 2 movies. Now, Carrie, Charlotte, and Miranda are back for a new chapter And just like that, Kristen Davis stars as Charlotte York and is also one of the show's executive producers. Good morning to you.
Hi. Good You're my you. First stop, and I can't
really?
Stop smiling.
Good.
It's very exciting to
be
back.
I think we're more excited than you are.
Oh, you're adorable. We're pretty excited.
That's
we're
great. Excited. So it's been, I can't believe it, 11 years since the last Sex and the City movie.
Right?
So we're all anxiously awaiting, you know, to see what Charlotte York has been up to, where her life will be. What can you tell us?
Well, Charlotte is still married to Harry.
Okay.
I can only say the things that I can say from the trailer.
Fair enough.
The secrecy is like,
it's
you know,
insane.
Top-notch, right? I'm still married to Harry, thankfully, and my two daughters have been growing up. There they are. They're adorable. And with parenthood come surprises. So
that's it. That's
you're killing
all, yeah.
us, Kristen.
I'm sorry. It's coming so soon. You can see for
true.
Yourself. Yeah, it's hard to say any more than that.
What do you think it is about the series and Charlotte as well? What do you think it is that has kept fans so captivated for so long?
I mean, honestly, it's luck. I thank you, fans. I mean, I'm always the hopeful one, obviously, as you know. So for those 10 years or whatever it was, I was like, I feel that we're coming back. I just feel that we're not done. And I did, but like, it wasn't necessarily from my brain.
Yeah.
It was from my heart. And I'm just so thrilled. It's like a miracle that we actually are back now in this new time telling this new version of our story.
You know, and I like the fact that you just said new version. I mean, the show we all know is transformational. I mean, girlfriends all over the world, we each picked, okay, who would we be? Somebody's Carrie. I was you, always. You're Charlotte.
Yay!
I'm Charlotte. So then now, though, it's not a look back. It's almost a look forward, isn't it?
Definitely. It's a look. It's very much now in terms of the conversations that we're all having culturally now are different than back then, of course. And it's moving forward. You know, life is unexpected and things happen to you and you come in contact with new people and they change your life in certain ways and you expand, hopefully, and grow with it, or maybe you don't. And, you know, life is not over when you turn 50.
Tell me about that, because there was a lot of buzz and criticism, which I have to tell you, I didn't see coming. I guess I should have
maybe.
Not really. I mean,
yeah.
Hello, we all grow.
I know. I mean, we did see it coming, though I have to say it still hurts sometimes.
Did you try not to read it?
Yes. Sarah and I are currently in a media blackout.
Yeah.
Cynthia is tougher, and she is not. So we're like, you tell us later, okay?
What they're saying.
Yes. It, you know, we had paparazzi with us all day long. And we kept thinking, why aren't they going? They've got the shot. Yeah. And I think, no offense, guys, don't be mad at me, but they were waiting for a bad shot. You know what I mean? So, like, 12 hours of paparazzi for a bad shot so they could say that we look bad. It's frustrating.
Kristen, really quickly, does the series explain what happened to Samantha?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, yes.
There's
I mean,
an explanation.
We love Samantha. Samantha is never not going to be a part in some way, right? So there is respect for Samantha. There is, it's part of the story.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's quite the tease.
We would never disrespect Samantha.
All right. Kristen Davis, the pride and joy of Columbia, South Carolina.
They had a whole connection here when we sat
AC
down.
Flora
I love that. I love that. Hi, everyone in Columbia.
It's good to see you again.
All the best.
So much continued success.
Thank you, guys.
By the way, just like that, it starts Thursday on HBO Max. And by the way, tomorrow, fellow star Cynthia Nixon.
Yay!
Will be here live.
Here's the thing. I'm smiling. Like, we're all so smiling.
You're so sweet.
Can't wait.
Thank you.
Can't
thank
wait.
You. Thank you.
All right. Up next on Pop Stars, Sylvester Stallone coming to the small screen. Yes, near you. What we're learning about his next big role. We'll have that in just a bit. But first, this is Today on NBC.
Ooh, it's exciting.
We're back at 8:53. Chanel, can't wait one more minute for the best part of the day.
I love it. How do we top today's show? It's been fantastic.
I know.
All right, here we
go.
First up, the Writers Guild of America just released its list of the greatest screenplays of the 21st century so far. You want to see the top five?
Yes.
Okay, coming in at number five, No Country for Old Men. Yep, written by Joel and Ethan Coen. This violent Western led by Javier Bardem, Tommy Lee Jones, and Josh Brolin took home 4 Oscars in 2008. All right, number 4, Parasite.
Wow, okay.
Bong Joon, yep, and Han Jin won the 2019 thriller about a poor family's relationship with their wealthy employers, became the first non-English speaking movie to win Best Picture at the Academy Awards. That was big. All right, number 3, The Social Network. You guys know this one. Aaron Sorkin's award-winning script showed how Mark Zuckerberg and his Harvard friends created Facebook. All right, here's the next one. The second spot, Charlie Kaufman's Eternal Sunshine on the Spotless Mind. This was in 2004. It showed off Jim Carrey's more serious side, yes, and a story about a couple who wants to medically remove each other from their memories. That's a plot. All right, finally, sliding in at number one.
All right.
Oh, Get Out.
Yes.
Yes, by Jordan Peele. Daniel Kaluuya stars there. This movie about a man visiting his girlfriend's peculiar family for the first time made it impossible for any of us to see someone stirring a cup of tea the same way ever.
It changed the genre.
Was that ever? The top five ever?
Or just recent?
No, just
this century.
Just this century.
21st century. Okay.
So far.
There we go.
Get him, Grandpa.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Coming up next in the third hour, we have a special Consumer Confidential revealing the best and the safest ways to shop this holiday season.
And then a bit later on the fourth hour, another parade of stars, actress Chloe Grace Moretz, singer Ingrid Michaelson, and poet and author and just legend in her time already, Amanda Gorman. Coming up next, the third hour of today.
Fun fact.